Welcome to the second episode of Another Phase. This week's guest is my very good friend Francesca Oddi, so you can expect some laughs and giggles as we talk about moon signs, astrology, and how to use the moon for prediction. As I mentioned, Francesca is one of my friends, so we do get a little bit personal in this episode as we talk about our moon signs and how that relates to us, how it shows up in our friendship, and also how it shows up in my personal life with my boyfriend. So yeah, I hope you find that interesting. There's a whole section in my book, Luna, about moon signs if you want to dive in more. So yeah, I'm going to leave you to it. I hope you enjoy this episode. Right, so thank you. Let's just dive straight in, and like, if you want to just like tell us about yourself, for anyone that doesn't know you, imagine that we were like at dinner, at a really cool dinner party, and like not the formal like it like website bio, but like the way that you would describe yourself and what you do, someone who gets it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I always just say I'm an astrologer and then just leave it. Let them react.
And what's the usual reaction?
I don't know, like, hey, oh right, yeah, like and I'm like, yeah, the weird one, horoscopes. And they're like, oh right, okay, oh, how did you get into that then?
Yeah,
it's just more fun, and I, you know, then I don't have to explain it. But yeah, I'm an astrologer, and I've also done a bit of numerology, palmistry, psychic development. You know, I've done lots of courses around it, and I'm studying herbal medicine, medical astrology. But my thing is astrology, and just translating all of life into birth charts and back again.
Well, and how did you get into like astrology and like what you do?
I was always into it. And then when I was having my Saturn return on the very day, I met a clairvoyant at a networking event, and she told me loads of stuff about my life and like blew my mind. And we went to get our coats together at the end. And I said, oh, when's your birthday? And she said, she told me her birthday. And I said, were you born at 8 p.m.? And she's like, yes, how do you know? Like psychicking the psychic.
Yeah.
And she said, yeah, you're an astrologer. You've been an astrologer in all your past lives. It's your thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh. She's like, yeah, you're an astrologer. You were a man. You were like quite high up in your past life. You really, you know, you did this as your job. You know, you're really, you know, whatever. And you're going to write books. You're going to do it in this life, but you're not going to write books yet, like more towards the end of your 30s, 40s. So I always have that at the back of my mind now when like I should be writing a book. I'm like, well, Sunit said it's later.
When the psychic said to you like you're going to be an astrologer, like what was your response, and then what, how was the transition, like what were you doing for work at that point to kind of get into where you are now?
Yeah, well, so I was still doing pet insurance and a bit of property insurance. That's how I met her, because she was doing holistic interior design. I had quite a bit of resistance. I thought I was too normal to be an astrologer. I didn't, obviously, had no idea what an astrologer was, apart from Mystic Meg.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was no one, and Shelley Von Strunkel, who wrote the horoscopes in the Sunday Times. So I Googled a bit, and I tried to work out what to do. And in the end, I did email Shelley at the Sunday Times and say, I've been told I'm going to be an astrologer, but I don't know how to do it. And she said, you need to speak to Frank at the London School of Astrology. So I emailed, told him my story. And I was still a bit like, oh, well, I'll just try the course. I'll just try the course and see if I like it. Obviously, I loved it and I was buzzing, and it was the best thing I'd ever done. But still, even though I'd been obsessed with astrology for years.
I was going to say, because that wasn't your first wake-up call. Like, you've been aware of astrology through your childhood, like one of your earliest memories is seeing like your birth, like was it like a poster with your name?
Yeah, a little gift with my name, my weight, blah blah.
Yeah, and then a Sagittarius.
Yeah, I'm like, what? What is this? I've seen this word before. Mum, what's this? Oh, nothing. I was like, definitely a thing. I'll be back to this.
Wow.
Like 3 years old. So yeah, it was big into it, but a bit slow on the uptake.
I think sometimes it takes a while, and I think sometimes just because we've done something for lots of different past lives doesn't mean we're gonna be, it's gonna come straight off the bat. It takes us a little while to warm up, and we have to have our lived experience in this lifetime to integrate what we need to know from this lifetime with all of our past things as well. Like was your mum into astrology then? Is that why it was on your little box?
No, so I think it was a lady called Helen Wakefield, one of my mum's mates who bought it, you know.
Really?
No, mum wasn't particularly into it.
No. Yeah.
Mum nor dad, no one.
And how would you say, like, what, because with your like palmistry and numerology and the medical astrology that you're doing and like herbalism and all of that, how would you describe your approach to astrology? Because you've got so many tools that you're bringing to the table, which, like, yeah, I'm always like, what's happening? Like,
yeah,
what does this mean? What's going on?
I think astrology and numbers are my main big ones. I love the medical stuff. You're sitting on my medical astrology books or her book. And
wait, you're on top of like a tarot and astrology book and a tarot book.
Making good use of my books.
Yeah.
So the astrology and numbers is my go-to. And I think I'm quite numerical. I think I see things quite fast in the chart these days because I'm always doing it.
Yeah.
And I can see the charts in my head. I've always been able to remember numbers and had a thing with numbers and patterns.
Be good at your times tables then.
I was amazing. I was the first one in the class to do them. I was six and I could do them even if they mixed it up. I got so
wow. I was like back of the class for times tables.
I loved it. I'd be like, Mum, do me a grid, time me. She's like, shut up. Mum and my aunt would be there with their wine. And I'd be like, time me. So yeah, I just love, yeah, I love numbers and patterns and and I was talking to someone about this the other day, because now with the apps and the software you don't need to be good with numbers to be able to do astrology.
Yeah.
And there's this whole new realm of very visual intuitive astrologers who like work with symbols and stuff. And even in the medical astrology classes, you know, there's a lot of healing and there's a lot of meditations and visualizations, and I'm always like, I don't get it. They're like, where do you feel this in your body? And I'm like, I don't. What are you on about? Like, they come and put their hands on me and they're like, your solar plexus, you know, I can just feel it. I'm like, I can't. That's why I am very in my head.
I think it's a similar thing with tarot. Everybody approaches it differently, don't they? They see things. And with psychic ability, everybody has different psychic senses that come more naturally to them, and others that aren't, they're not as developed. I don't want to say as good or strong or weak, but
developed,
like, developed, yeah, compared to you, like total basics of astrology. I would never say that I am an astrologer, like, even, like, I know,
you know enough.
Yeah, I know enough. Like, I know the, like, when it comes to the moon and things like that. And for me, when I start looking at bits, like, that's how I piece it. I think very similar to the way that I'd read a tarot card. I'd look at the symbolism and I'd see the like what each thing is and how they feel together. But for you, it's the more physical, isn't it? I guess it's the numbers and the angles and
But there is, I have noted particularly as well since I've been making more videos, like when I watch myself think, I do look around and I don't know what I'm looking at. I don't know if I'm just seeing it in my head, but I do get ideas. And I would say that of my psychic ability is, you know, I know stuff.
Yeah, so and that is claircognizant.
Yeah, I just know it. And I've always been like that. And I was at school, I was like that. I'm just like, I just know. And they'd be like, why do you know? I'm like, I don't know, I just know. And so I don't see anything or feel anything, you know, it's in my head and I know.
But I think like as you were saying earlier, like the more that you're doing readings, the quicker things are coming through to you. And it's like this chat, how I was talking to my friend about it the other day, like our psychic abilities and when we're working intuitively is like a channel. The more that we use it, the more that the tap, if you see it like a tap, when you're first starting out, it's like drip, drip, drip. But the more you start using it, it comes through. And it's like a really good shower then, you know? You're like, oh, I can stand under this shower for ages, because it just comes through really quickly and you're quicker to pull on those messages, aren't you?
Yeah.
But I think they change. Like, do you feel like yours? Because I know, like, do you remember that time, like, I think it's when we first met, she's lost control, and I did that reading for you, and I was like, oh yeah, I'm hearing.
You were hearing. Yeah. And I was like, what are you hearing?
Yeah. And I was like, I don't even know. And I hadn't even till that point realized I've always been more clairvoyant and clairvoyant where I'm seeing things and clairsentient where I'm feeling things. I didn't even realize at that point that I was hearing, you know, when you're just saying it, like saying it, it's like, yeah, I can hear this, but I hadn't connected until you'd said, like, how are you hearing this? That I was also, I'd all of a sudden developed this clairaudience. So, and what is, like, when people come to you for a reading, like, what are, like, the things that they come to see you for?
Not, you know, career, love. There's a fair few, you know, will I marry him? Will yeah. there be a baby? Yeah. Questions. But generally, a lot of people just come for an audit. Like, I had yeah. somebody yesterday, and I'm like, you know, what we're doing? She's like, oh, I just, you know, my friend mm-hmm. had a reading, blah, blah, blah. I just wanted to do it. So there's quite a lot of that these days, which is nice.
Yeah.
As well. What it must be the same for you.
Yeah, I think mine, a lot of it is work, relationships. I wouldn't say to someone, like, for me, it doesn't come through future prediction. Like, I will predict things because energetically that if X plus Y will equal Z, like if you put the energy into that thing, then it's likely to happen. But I would, like, for me, it doesn't come through as in, you know, something like, you're going to have this many children, you're going to marry someone.
Oh, yeah,
with
no,
this letter.
No. I don't do da, da, da. That.
Like, I would never go there in that way. But if something comes through, like, some say if I'm like, oh, I feel like you're going to have a big chat, like, and with what the cards are saying, you're going to have a big change. Like, I can see you doing something different. I would feel into that, but wouldn't be specific because it just doesn't come through to me. And I think sometimes I might get it wrong, and I don't want that person to be like, well, that psychic said that da-da, and they've not felt it into their gut. Like, for you, like with the prediction that you got from the psychic, astrology had always been there. It wasn't like a wild card of like, oh well, she said I'm gonna do this. Like, it was always there for you. Mm-hmm. But I think sometimes, like, when we're intuiting things, it is all, it's subjective, isn't it? Like, it's the person's perspective. So one thing might mean one thing to someone, but it might be slightly off, and it could be something else. Mm-hmm. But yeah, career stuff, relationships. But I also think that everything is, that with the tarot, I work with kind of like the energetics of where they're at and what's blocking them and what's holding them back. But I always see, like, how someone is in one aspect of their life, like, say work is the same as career. So there will be a similar kind of relationships and career. Yeah. So whether they are, there's a connection. So it's like, yeah, we're talking about this, but this can also apply. We just change that. And it's like, what you do, that's what's holding you back in this aspect as well. Like, it's not different for each thing because we're the common denominator. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And also good of you to clarify that as well, because I've been getting, you asked me why people come.
Yeah.
I didn't also then say back, look, this isn't what I do.
No.
You know. And so you get people come, but most, like 90% of people now are coming for everything that you've just described.
And I think it just helps. I know, like, whenever, like, we had a really good chat the other week, and I was like, oh yeah, like, it just helps you see, understanding astrology, like, even like with, especially with through lockdown, following you, not that, like, obviously I've been following for ages, but your predictions and how that was playing out, and like with Boris going into hospital, it was like this soap opera of the stars, like not saying that Boris is us, but like the stars up in the sky. And it was just so fascinating, like, to see how it all comes through and how it really does influence us. And I think for people that are skeptics, like, how can you deny that this planet is about this, this planet is this, when they come together, this is what it is, and this is what's going on down here. Like, as above, so below. Like, that's what's going on.
And this year has been particularly amazing for that, in so much as the astrology has been hardcore. Yeah. It was predicted it was going to be hardcore. It was easy to make predictions because it was hardcore.
Yeah.
And it has been hardcore on the dates of the conjunctions and whatever.
Yeah.
And it's still going to be like that. You know, I am very much, you know, as we're recording, where are we? July is beautiful. And the sun is shining and we're all outside, but there's some more stuff coming this year.
Yeah. I think astrology, for me, astrology helps to be prepared. If you know what's coming, it's not to, like, bury your head under the sand. It's if you know something's coming up, you might not know exactly what, but energetically, it's like the weather forecast, isn't it? You wouldn't leave the house without an umbrella if you knew it's going to rain. Mm-hmm. Like the way that you share astrology, it helps me think, okay, well, I can prepare in this way or navigate it so that I'm as ready as I can be. Not that we'll ever be fully ready, not that we ever fully know exactly what it is, but so we can ride the waves rather than get swallowed, even though there will be times that we probably are feeling like we are being swallowed by it all, but it just helps us go with flow. I always like ask this question with everyone. Well, I'm saying everyone, like you're my second person I've interviewed, but I'm going to be asking like everyone this question. But like, what is your moon sign? Because in Luna, like I talk about moon signs, because when I learned about moon signs, it was like this huge lightning bolt moment for self-awareness myself. And I'd already been learning about astrology for a few years. So I already knew that we're not just our sun sign, but it was kind of really diving into like moon signs and how it related to myself and my like sensitivities and also my relationship. Like that was the big thing. That was at the time I was like, whoa, like moon sign is really helpful to understand my relationship and my partner, because we were going through a really rocky patch at the time. It's like understanding that actually how I see our moon signs is like a love, it's like love language, isn't it? It's just sort of like the basic kind of way of looking into it. But what, yeah, I've just rambled, but like, what is your moon sign and how do you relate to it?
Taurus moon.
Yeah.
Moon. Oh yeah. Well, how do I relate to my moon? My astrology is really conflicted in that my sun and my moon are opposing so extremely, not as in a nice sweet opposition of it's like a kind of we are two very different people. And so my moon sign just loves nature, loves being comfortable and being alone and being connected to something bigger and feeling into life. It also, because it's opposing Saturn, it loves working. So there's a lot of that. And my moon I find so interesting because I was born, I think, just a few days after an eclipse.
Yeah.
And my eclipse is exactly the same as my mum's dad. Mm-hmm. So my granddad and I have got this eclipse thing. And because my moon is in the 12th house, there is something very like, there's a lot of old karmic energy hanging out there. So, and I think it took me a long time to know I had that part of me because, well, it was just, yeah, it was just a delay. I would say not until my Saturn return did I know I had the moon in Taurus. I just had this weird personality default that made me really rubbish Sagittarius and hate traveling and like hate change and get really homesick all the time. But being able to understand my moon, the needs of my moon and the wants of my sun have been, it gives me a language and a way to understand and articulate life.
Why do you think that the moon and astrology is so big at the moment?
Neptune in Pisces is the easy answer. Right. So Neptune is at home in Pisces and spirituality has boomed.
And when did that go? When did that move in?
2012-ish.
Right. Okay. So that's like when we were having, was that when we were having our Saturn returns then?
Yes.
Yeah.
Saturn moved into Scorpio on October the 4th, 2012.
Right.
And that was like, hello. I can't remember what degree your Saturn's at, but yeah.
Yeah.
The whole of Saturn in Scorpio was that experience. Neptune in Pisces, I need to look it up. I know he was in Aquarius 2006, mid Aquarius 2000, maybe 2010.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, how, I'm like jumping around. Like I've got my like questions like back to front. how do you work with like the phases of the moon?
Yeah, the moon is just so fundamental to who someone is. Mm-hmm. And their moon phase, particularly, I think, yeah, I always look at it. It's one of the things that I do when I'm building in what I'm doing for somebody's chart. You know, I go around the houses and I look at everything. And the configuration of their moon phase tells you a lot about someone.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you're born whatever moon phase you're at, it it's your personality. I'm born, you know, just 2 days before a full moon, and I've got that pushy, need to get things done vibe all the time. Yeah. And I love that moon phase. It's my favorite moon phase.
I'm like, what? I think I'm waning.
Aquarius, Pisces, Aries. Yeah, you are psychic.
I mean, when you say, when you're like, say, yeah, I was born just before a full moon, I just like love the energy. I'm like, I want to be like that.
No, it's mad. Thing. It's too much.
Yeah.
It's completely insane. Yeah, I think I love it. Mm. I love it, but also it's mad. Yeah. I'm also kind of relieved, you know, after the full moon when it's like, ah.
Yeah, you feel it.
And everything slows down because there's 2 days before I'm just, you know, I can't do enough. I can't, there's just not enough time. There's not enough hours in the day. I'm just on fire.
It's be crazy. Interesting, like, for people, like, they, have you got a birth chart on your website that people can look up that do their birth chart?
Yes, it works most of the time.
So they can look, like, they can look at that, and it's like, they can, I've done it before quickly, you can just, like, Google your birth date and, like, moon phase.
You can Google your moon phase, yeah.
To, like, find that out, to kind of give you some clues. But how do you, like, in your personal life, how do you work with the moon phases?
I don't work as much when it's a new moon because I can't. Last week I was a zombie. Obviously the sun was opposing Saturn last week.
Yeah.
So everybody was a bit tired. But my brain is definitely a week for reading, for sorting things out, for planning. And I will do the bulk of my work, the bulk of my events, you know, in the next 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. When the moon is waxing.
Yeah, I think wax. I love the waxing moon phase. I love that.
I'm still a bit tired. I'm still a bit new moony right now. Where are we? When was the new moon?
Yesterday, Sunday.
Yeah, Monday? Very recently.
No, not yesterday. Monday. I've lost track of what. I don't even know what day it is. Sunday.
Did you do anything?
I was away in Newquay, so I kind of didn't, but I just kind of just had a little moment to be like, I wish I lived here by the sea. New moon intention done.
Would you move to the sea?
I'd love to. That's like my dream. Like, I'd love to live by the sea. Like the whole time we were away, I kept saying to like Fang, who's like my boyfriend, like, should we move here? Like, he's like, we can't just sell the house. He's like, yeah, we can. Yeah, because he's a tourist moon, like, same as you. So he's like, doesn't want change. He's like, quite plotted where we are. Doesn't want.
How does that, because your moons are a square, aren't they?
I don't know what to each other.
Well, they're both fixed.
Yeah, I'm Aquarius moon, by the way. Anyone wants to look that up?
but you're both fixed. You're both stubborn.
Yeah.
And am I like Fan?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you like pulling out the same toolkit to deal with me?
No. You're a lot easier. No, he's cool. He's chill. He's laid back. But he's like, I think it's his Aquariusness that I struggle with more.
Really?
That sounds harsh to say.
But you've got the Aquarius moon, so that's really interesting.
I know.
That's the projection.
Yeah.
Classic.
Yeah, total. I know it is, but how do you stop?
I don't know. I don't know. Look at us doing this as a job. We still don't know how to stop.
Yeah, I know. Projecting. But that's, it's living it. It's like, we know it's one thing knowing it in theory, and it's so much easier when you're applying that for someone else in their relationship because you've got a different perspective. It's like reading, when I read the tarot for myself, I really have to, if I pull a card for someone else, it's like I can just say all out like what's going on for them. But if I'm doing it for myself, it's like,
perfect.
Yeah. What is that? Like when I'm reading myself, I'm either like, oh yeah, and then just like don't. So I really have to take the time to journal to really get into the good stuff for myself. Like I really have to dig deep and take that time. And that's why I always, whenever I'm doing like teaching people tarot, it's like journal, like write it down, like read, like don't just read it in the out of a book, like really look at the symbolism. What is the card saying to you? How's it making you feel? Really working with your intuition and digging deep rather than just taking that surface level answer of like, oh yeah, that applies to that, carry on. So that definitely helps. And I think I need to, saying that, maybe I need to do a tarot reading around like project for myself, projecting.
No, but I just think that's how you know projection is a thing. Yeah. Because you live it. Like, I've read all the astrology textbooks and I read my chart and I've looked at the past and my present relationships, and still you're like, okay. But it's just amazing that you've experienced it personally, that you know that projection is real, and that you can take a step back and, you know, and then tell other people, like, with confidence.
Yeah.
When I see it in their chart, maybe if I'm doing a relationship reading, you know, you might be projecting here, and this is how that would manifest.
Yeah. Well, I think that's how you teach, isn't it? From the experience. It's not like, and I think that can be the tricky thing for a lot of people, because they read, I know that I did this starting out, like, you read it all and you think you know it. And then the initiation is actually walking the talk and moving through it and applying what you know to the situation and doing things differently to how you are programmed to.
And getting new perspectives on all of it.
Yeah. So I want to really, like, because I did your eclipse workshop the other day and I found it super fascinating. And you're going to be teaching it again. Is it in November you're going to teach
November,
it?
November, the 30th.
So, it was really interesting because I always say to people, one of the things that I love about working with the phases of the moon, especially new moons and full moons, is that you are writing down your intentions. So you can also use that for reflection, see how far you've come, see what's manifest, see how things have changed, because we can be so hard on ourselves, can't we? And be like, oh, I'm doing everything and getting nowhere fast. But actually, when you rewind and see, and like, you're great because you've got like your diaries from like way back.
That is full of diaries. 20 years.
I'm like, why did I only start journaling like 2 years ago? Like, I wish like I had them. It must be such a wealth.
A laugh is what it is.
Yeah. But to go back and just see where you're at. But when you're learning astrology. You but I think self-reflection and seeing that journey is so powerful.
It's amazing. It's like, so amazing. And as well, because as you get older, you get personally less open, and you know, you are really, really open with, even more open with myself, I find, my really, really old diaries.
Yeah.
And yeah, the things you feel, and you're just like, God, I haven't changed.
Yeah, I'm still moaning about this or whatever. But what I was gonna say, yeah, so like, I always recommend to people, like, keep a journal or at least a moon journal, so you're writing these things down, and these if you're doing a ritual or a ceremony or a meditation, like, writing down the downloads that you're getting, even if they don't make sense, because it's such an empowering way to reinforce your intuition and start trusting it, because you can go back and, oh my God, that came through when I was doing this meditation, or this keeps coming through again and again and again, like a stalker card, like you were saying with the Eight of Pentacles earlier.
Yeah.
I think before we started the interview, like, we start to say, oh, hang on, this sign keeps coming up for me. Like, why aren't I doing anything about it? Like, I'm moaning that I'm not happy where I am. Why aren't I doing anything about it? And this sign keeps coming up. And the sign is like, do this. And we have resistance for like whatever reason. But yeah, I always think keeping a journal or something to kind of keep track of those things. But something that you were talking about in the workshop was about like predicting, using the moon for prediction. And like how, like, I, from my experience, like when I'm doing my new moon intentions, it often takes 6 months for it to come to fruition. So oftentimes, like when it's the full, say if I set an intention in new moon in Aries, by the full moon in Aries, I will have seen something come through with that. So I see that using the new moon to the full moon and the full moon to reflect on the new moon. But in the workshop, you were talking about the 9 month cycle and like the gestational, like the, is it like the lunar gestational period, like
lunar gestation cycle? Yeah
Would you be able to like explain a little bit of that, because I think that would be super fascinating for other people to know, and like also you're doing the workshop again, so that like I really encourage people to start journaling now. Get ready.
You've got to go way back. I'm going to do this event so many times, and just before I forget, there's something that I always happens to me as well, because some things do happen slowly.
Yeah.
But like, I made my intentions on Sunday night, and then yesterday I have like, I'm hammered, because sometimes things come through so fast.
Yeah.
Like in a day. And I was reading my phone yesterday and things were coming through. I was like, what? You know? So yes, it takes 6 months or 9 months, but sometimes I always forget that actually the day after a new moon is like, bang, you asked for it, deal with it now.
Yeah.
But yeah, the lunar gestation phase is Dietrich Pessin's work, I believe. Or, mm-hmm. And I hadn't spoken about it much before because I thought it was like her work, her project, and you know, I just left it. But mm-hmm. I think a few astrologers are working with it now. So if there's a new moon at a certain point in the sky, now, if you don't know about astrology, then basically the zodiac wheel is a 360-degree circle broken up into 12 segments of the sky, and it starts at 0 degrees Aries, 1 degree Aries, 2 degrees Aries, 3 degrees Aries, all the way to 29 degrees Aries, 0 Taurus, all the way around. And mm-hmm. so there's different degrees. So if the new moon is at 5 degrees of Capricorn, then 9 months later, there will be a first quarter moon.
Mm-hmm.
Can you do a better one?
Anyone that is watching, listening to the podcast and not watching the video, Frankie is demonstrating with her hands.
Badly. First quarter moon. At about 3, 4, 5, 6 degrees of Capricorn.
Mm-hmm.
And then another 9 months later, so 18 months after the first new moon, there will be a full moon at 4, 5, 6 degrees of Capricorn. And then 9 months later, again, there'll be the final quarter. And that is mad. Mm-hmm. And if you want to go back and look at very significant things that happened in your life, and particularly like the event I did was involved two eclipses. So the new moon was an eclipse and the full moon was an eclipse.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an eclipse on the 30th of November, which is why I'm doing it again. And so eclipses obviously are even more powerful lunations. Mm-hmm. But if you look back in your life, if something very important happened at the full moon, and then again, if 9 months later, some kind of critical shift happened, then at the full moon, you can be pretty sure when it comes to predicting that you're going to see something manifest as part of that story.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, with the final quarter.
So could people use that to plan their lives, like to get on the superhighway something of like, right, I want to make this happen. Like, I really want to get aligned with the moon and the universe. I know that this moon, this new moon is going to be, would you say, like, we all know, well,
yeah,
people might not be aware of it, but eclipses are like intense. Like, I know whenever I lead a moon ceremony, like everyone, it's like the volume is like cranked up. Everybody is like feeling so much. And there's a lot of shifts and a lot of kind of curveballs and twists and turns and things coming through. But how would you, like, because we have like solar eclipses and like lunar eclipses, like what is your perspective on like the eclipses and how we can work with them?
Well, I was particularly obsessed with that eclipse because it was on a planet in my birth chart mm-hmm. as well. And I think that is extra.
Mm-hmm.
So if the new moon is on your sun or on your Venus or on your Mercury, then you're it's going to get you more. So, but with eclipses, it's so significant. Again, eclipses are amazing for predicting.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't do loads of predictive work, but when I am looking at someone's chart and I can see there's an eclipse on their sun or MC, I will know definitively that something will shift at that time. And because eclipses repeat, you can look back. So my favorite question this summer has been, what happened in 2001? What were you doing in 2001? Where were you going? And you know, was it your parents split up? Did you go to uni? Did you have your first heartbreak? Whatever it was, did you buy a house? Did you sell a house? Did you get married? These things are sort of repeating now because the eclipses are repeating this year. And it's just, it's amazing because it's, people can really see it and it manifests, it happens. By the way, you know, by manifest, I mean, something happens.
Oh, yeah, I'm like, what was I doing in 2001? I can just about remember what I was doing last week.
GCSEs.
Oh, right.
Leaving school.
So I wasn't really doing my GCSEs because I hated school and I just started hairdressing.
Because we've got a, particularly for us, as in you and me, because we're both born the same year. We're repeating Saros cycles this year, I think.
What does that mean?
So eclipses repeat every 18, 19 years. I have to check. No, so the Saros cycle will be repeating when we're 38, actually. But I went to a talk at the astrology conference and someone was talking about Saros cycle 137, and I'm sure that's I'm too astrology. Just I'm yeah. boring people.
No, yeah. people. I'm sure people would be like, "How do you spell that?" Like, go down a rabbit hole. It's so good, and that's the thing. I think that's one of the best ways to start learning about astrology. It's like start googling the terms.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and the mythology and what that means, and how that affects. And looking at your birth chart and how that reflects.
Yeah, once you can get past the term, so that's what I'm going to be doing in my next course. Is like,
when does that start?
10th of August. Okay. Is just translate. Give because all I needed, I could have done it from books, but there's certain things I just couldn't understand without being taught them.
Yeah.
So if you can just say, look, this is what a square is, because people are always DMing, like, you astrologers talking about squares. A square isn't, once you know what a square is,
yeah,
you'd be saying square all day long. It's just having it explained. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's just certain bits of terminology that if you can't understand it, you're like, right, I'm stuck.
Well, I think that's the thing. People, the terminology can be a bit of a roadblock, can't it, for some people? Mm-hmm. And then
it was for me.
Yeah.
I used to read loads of books and just not get it.
Yeah. And you can even read like a normal book and like, not. I remember years ago, like I was like reading like a crystal book and it was just like, it was a really thick crystal book, loads of words. But you know, when you get to the end of the description, it's like, what does that even mean?
Yeah.
Like, what does that even, it's like, yeah, this book is big. And there's loads of words, but how does that apply to me? How can I work with that? Like, what is that? It's so easy to overcomplicate things, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Whereas people love overcomplicating. Mm. They really, and I don't really get it. Why people won't just take it down? And I think it's when you're so fluent in something and you understand it so much. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but I used to find it when I was doing the website, when I was doing pet insurance before.
Yeah.
You know, the IT consultants, it's very hard sometimes to get them to talk to me. Like, I don't understand what you're on about. I don't know. What's an API? Just translate it so we can have a conversation.
Yeah.
But everybody stays up where they are, I suppose. I don't know why.
I think sometimes it's like trying to prove their intelligence. And you're trying to be... thinking that using all the words and all the jargon makes you sound legit.
Yeah.
Actually, I know when I was like learning copywriting, because that's something that for me, building my business, I wanted to learn how to communicate what I was doing on a level, you know, so that people got it. And it sounded like me when I was talking about it rather than like what I thought I should be saying. Like, I really went, had this moment where I was like, really want to sound like me. How do I say it? And was learning about copywriting. And one of the things in that I learned is like, a confused mind says no.
Yeah.
So it switches off. So that's, for me, it's like really breaking it down. It's like, if I'm reading that, would like someone else that doesn't know anything about what I do understand that?
Mm.
And that's the thing, because it just, you make it too exclusive otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
If you try and kind of thing. And I think I've seen a few companies like, oh yeah, we've like, their thing is that they're breaking down the language so that you understand it. There's no jargon. There's no thing. It's like, this is what you're breaking it down. Super simple. With your course, when, like, what's it all about? When does it start?
All right. Okay. Yeah. All that. Yeah. So it's learn to read your birth chart in a week. And I had the idea ages ago, and I was going to do it as a retreat.
Mm.
Hypothetically, I was going to go to Rome and get a yoga teacher friend to come and do it.
Yeah.
And we'd get up, chill, do some yoga, have a coffee, do a lesson, have the afternoon, you know, maybe do another little session later on. And it was just to get people to have the concept. Now, obviously, I'm not doing that.
Mm.
Maybe, I don't know, let's see what happens. But so it's online, and it's just set five classes, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then Monday again, because I was telling my flatmate, and she was like, Friday? And I was like, yeah, I wasn't sure either. She's like, nah, don't do Friday. So that gives people a little bit more integration time, a bit of reading time. Mm-hmm. And so it's just the building blocks. What are the signs? What are the glyphs?
Yeah.
What are the signs of the zodiac?
Mm-hmm.
And then what are the planets and their myth? What are the houses of the birth chart?
Wow.
And what are the aspects? And that's the four events. And then I'm going to be putting it all together. I am actually going to do that three times. So cool. I'm going to do it on the Monday.
Yeah.
And then twice more, you know, for people who can't make it.
Yeah.
There's so many courses in my head. It's ridiculous. It's and brilliant. I'm finding it strange because I'm back now, because I'm back in London. When I was at my parents', I had space and I could, it's just kind of here. I feel, I don't like doing stuff in my room. You know, we're mystics in our bedroom right now.
Yeah.
I like doing stuff in my sister's room.
Yeah. But yeah, so because I think for anyone that doesn't know, like, you do lots of different workshops, don't you, like online?
Yeah, so I have been, particularly in lockdown.
Yeah,
because it's just easier for me to get work out if there's deadlines.
Yeah, I'm so much better with a deadline.
Lots of little deadlines.
Yeah,
so nice.
Yeah, I would have never written a book or two books if I didn't have deadlines.
Yeah, very important. But with a big project like a book, I mean, that's hardcore, mate.
Yeah, it is. It was. I definitely think Luna was that. I thought that Luna would be easier because I'd already written a book. Mm-mm. But it wasn't.
Difficult second book.
Yeah. I think I just remember like a voice note like to you to be like, I just don't know why I'm doing this anymore. And you're like, you're just tired. Step away.
But it's just so miserable. Sitting and writing and then being tired and then doing it again.
Yeah. And just having a deadline, so knowing that you can't you can't just sack it off. Like you've signed a contract. Like you've taken a bit of your advance, like you're committed, like you've got to keep going. And it started like, I don't know, I always start off like, oh, it's such a good idea, but I don't know if that's probably like the Aries part of me. Like I get so passionate about something. I'm super excited and I do burn out quite quickly, but also I get bored and I'm like, I want to go and work on this now. I've got this other project. I've got this idea. So that's even with this podcast, I'm like, right, I've got, can't drag this out. Like I've got to do it while the energy's there.
Yeah, that's really good. It's really good. I've got to, like, can you see my blue tags? My podcast plan has been up here. Because I was going to film them all because there's a studio here.
Yeah.
And I had it all booked in, but then lockdown. And now, as we've discussed.
Make it happen. I'll be your accountability buddy. I'll be a guest.
All right, cool.
So if you could go to another phase in your life, if you go back in time.
Nice question.
What would it be? Well, when would it be? And what would you tell yourself?
I'd go to 2003 for sure, because it was my personal year 22.
Right.
So in numerology, you have your personal years. And I knew 2003 was epic whilst I was living it.
How old are you?
18.
Right.
Yeah. And it was the year I went to uni and like the last summer leaving school. It was just amazing. It was absolutely amazing. And the quality of my friendships and relationships was through the roof. And I was just laughing all the time. It was, it was just really, really amazing. It was I did know it was amazing at the time.
Yeah.
So I don't kind of have any regrets with that, but it's just amazing.
What, like, I'm feeling like nostalgic.
And living in Rome was cool. There's definitely distinct years, and that's another reason I've always known that. I've always been like, I didn't like 1999. I love 2000. I love 2003. I love 2008. I love 2012. I love 2013. I did not like 2014. Mm. And that I've always had been very kind of, yeah. And being able to look at the astrology of what was going on and the numbers, and 2020 is quite nice, actually. Have to say,
what number year is it for you this year?
3.
Okay.
3 is a magic number.
Yeah.
So 3 is fun.
Creative, it's expressive as well, isn't it?
Yeah, creative, making, yeah, writing and talking. Yeah, just fun. The personal year 11 last year was not.
I can't remember what my year. I need to check.
If you're always 4 years ahead of me.
Why am I always 4 years ahead of you?
Because you're an 8.
Oh, okay.
And I'm basically a 4. But you've had your birthday this year and I haven't, so now my brain can't do it.
Okay, yeah. I'll work it out.
Rule it one. No, five add four. Nine.
Okay.
Oh. No, your birthday's March, huh?
Yeah, 28th.
Oh, three. Four add four. Eight.
Eight. So, yeah, and I'm a life partner.
You're in your year.
I'm in your year.
Boom.
But yeah, I love that numerology workshop, that numbers workshop. And it's so good. It's because I was doing it and then I was like working out my boyfriend, then I was working out my friends. Like, it's so easy to do and just to start to understand these things. And also for anyone that wants to learn tarot, the numerology is it's really interesting to see, because the numerology is in tarot. Those numbers mean something. Like, it isn't just like to break it down. That is those numbers. There's so much symbolism in tarot. But doing a workshop was great because it's just listening to someone's different perspective. I think we can so easily be like, oh yeah, I know that. But it's so powerful to listen to someone else teach something, because that we can always take something else away from that. But yeah, definitely. I'm like, I would do that workshop again. Are you doing it again?
Yeah. I need to. Well, I've got it filmed, the one I did with Pip.
Ah.
But yeah, it's a really nice one to do because it's so simple. Astrology, astrology, I always feel like I've got to keep everyone concentrated. Like, whereas the numerology is just like, it's so basic.
Yeah.
It's like, you know that it's landing. Whereas with astrology, I'm just like, look, I'm giving you information, trust it, keep listening. Yeah. It's a different process.
I feel with astrology, it's like a different language though. And it's seeing how it plays out. Whereas, and again, it's like one word, like square, that then confused minds like, eh-eh.
Yeah.
Whereas everybody knows numbers.
Yeah.
And those, the things that apply to it. So it's easier to, the block's not there in the same way, is it?
Yeah, exactly.
So where can people find you and how can they work with you? So how could they book in for reading or come to one of your workshops?
So my website is francescaaudio.com, but it's being revamped.
Whoa. Aye, aye.
I think Instagram's the easiest.
Mm.
Francesca Audio Astrology. Yeah, like you can just press book.
Yeah.
And then your link tree.
Your link tree with all of your like links and just if anyone isn't already following you, I'm like, where have you been? Because they would have seen me like mentioning you, but like your the post that you share all the time is just so insightful as well and really helpful. So yeah, people get on that if you aren't already. Thank you so much. This has been so much fun.
Thanks, darling. Mystics in our beds. I was changing my sheets. I was going to have you on my ironing board, but it's just been better.
Yeah, it's just more relaxed, I think. Mm-hmm. Mystics in their bedroom.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of Another Phase. Next week's guest is Jaleesa Cypress. She's another astrologer friend of mine, and she's also a writer and an artist. In this episode, we're going to be talking about the way that Jaleesa works with astrology, as well as manifestation and spiritual activism, which I think is a really juicy topic. So I'm excited to be sharing that with you when that comes out. I recommend subscribing to this podcast if you want to be the first to know about it when it's released. But if you could rate, review, and share this podcast, I would really appreciate it. And yeah, spread the word to anyone that you think would enjoy this. Thank you.